I would like to request His Grace Shauri Prabhu to kindly come on the stage and make His offering.
Hare Krishna. So everyone's heard this term over and over again. This very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'd like to teach you another term that you've never heard before. A very junior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. That's me. Okay? I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1975, May 8th. I came out of a similar situation a little later, of course. The same type of situation that Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnu John Maharaj, and some other devotees. We came from what was called a hippie commune. Okay, I won't go into the details of our lifestyle, but as Srila Prabhupada said, extraordinary. So, coming from such a fallen condition, I personally carried some baggage, and I'm very properly situated as a very junior disciple of Srila Prabhupada because of that. So 2 weeks after I joined on a farm on the big island of Hawaii. And it was our temple was like a shack. It was just kind of like they built it from old shacks that workers used to live in to do the labor on the sugarcane fields. It was right in the middle of the sugarcane fields, right on the slopes of what is called Mauna Loa, which the island of Hawaii is two mountains right next to each other. One's Mauna Loa, one's Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea is still an active volcano, but Mauna Loa is inactive. So it was really rickety and, you know, haphazardly made. But it was a temple. And the rafters on the ceiling we had cloth going, and sometimes you'd see the rats, you see their foot, you know, through the cloth as they ran across like that. So it was rudimentary. But coming out of a hippie commune, it was fine with me. It wasn't like anything I was concerned about. But Srila Prabhupada came there and graced us with his personal presence in such a, austere, rudimentary situation. We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. And so on and so forth. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I remember when he pulled up in the car, I had just been around for 2 weeks. We didn't go through what you devotees in Chaupati go through. You have to go through a lot of training and you earn your saffron cloth. In those days in ISKCON, you joined the temple, you shaved up, and before you knew anything, you had saffron cloth on. So it was just like ordinary for us, whereas now it's something, it's like an honor, you earn it. And Srila Prabhupada came, he pulled up in the car and he stepped out and we all offered our dandavats. And I didn't know Srila Prabhupada. The first time I saw him, I didn't know that much about him even. But everyone else is doing it, and I'm going to do it too. I actually didn't really know much about Krishna consciousness. I had been on this hippie commune, and then all of a sudden, I was asked to leave, and I didn't know where to go. And some devotees that were also living on this hippie commune, believe it or not, they said, well, you can go to this place, but you got to follow four rules. And so they told me the four rules, and I said, okay, I'll stay there temporarily. It's going to be like a stepping stone. And anyway, I've never left. None. So I paid my obeisances like everyone else, and we followed Prabhupada into the temple room and started artik, and the ghee lamp, I picked up I'd been around for 2 weeks, so I knew what to do with the ghee lamp after it was offered to the deities. But something happened in my mind. Instead of offering it to Srila Prabhupada first, I offered it to all the devotees first and to Srila Prabhupada last. I was thinking, you know, in America, I guess also in India, except for in Gujarat, you eat the sweet last. You save the best for last. So I was saving the best for last. So then the water came off. I did the same thing. Put all the devotees' head into Srila Prabhupada last. Srila Prabhupada bowed his head down, took the water, just like he had very graciously accepted the ghee lamp. And of course he noticed what I did. It's just there's like about 30 of us in a small room. Then the flowers came off. I did the same thing. All the devotees first and Srila Prabhupada last. So this was my first exposure to Srila Prabhupada. And then afterwards, I was severely chastised. And my question was, why didn't you stop me after I had done the ghee lamp? Why did you allow me to, you know, do the water and then again the flowers when I had already proven myself to be, you know, inexperienced and uncultured and everything else? But anyway, it did happen, and Srila Prabhupada, he knew us. And he didn't take offense. It's just like he also waited in line to go to the bathroom at 26 Second Avenue. Now, how would you feel if you were one of those devotees that was standing in front of Srila Prabhupada and, you know, you went into the bathroom and took a shower and everything before him? You would know better now. But, you know, sometimes we have to go through life and we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. And there's that saying that failure is the pillar to success. So we're all in this material world because we failed. Somewhere along the line, we made a big mistake. And we chose to try to seek happiness in a personal way with our, you know, our own selves. And instead of trying to find happiness or experience happiness by pleasing Krishna. So now we're reaping the result. We've got a material body. We're in the material world. We get sick. We get old. We, you know, have experiences that aren't so nice, and Krishna consciousness is curing us of this disorder, this sickness, this disease of material existence. And this is all by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada just disappeared from this planet a few minutes ago, only 40 years ago, within our memories. I guess some of our memories. Not everyone's 40 years old. So there's something to learn from these experiences in this material world, and then get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and benefit from his influence and the natural inclination that one has when one gets some influence that gives one benefit, is that you feel grateful to that person whose influence changed your life. And believe me, Srila Prabhupada changed my life. There's no question. I mean, you've heard of the word trajectory? Now, I was in a trajectory to go into a tree body. I mean, we didn't wear clothes in the hippie commune. That's the lifestyle we led. It was the 60s and the early 70s in America. We were rebellion against everyone and everything. And we rebelled against clothes. And this is the life we led. So it's an embarrassing thing, but it's the reality. Coming from such a situation, such an influence. So then I placed myself in another influence, and I put on my clothes, and I, you know, started to try to act like a gentleman, and took up spiritual life under the direction of Srila Prabhupada and the association of his followers. So I'm sure not anyone here has the same experiences that I had, or Tamal Krishna Maharaj or Vishnu John Swami had. They came from similar situations. And it totally changed their lives too. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's like he diverts your trajectory from one species of life, from one planet, from one situation in the material world to another, and his influence is enabling us to go back to the spiritual world. So we don't have to go through this again. And, you know, I remember being a young man and think that I'm going to enjoy, I'm not even a young man, like a child, and thinking, wow, when I'm 21, I'm really going to enjoy. But then you get to be 21, and it's not what you're thinking it was going to be. And then when you get to be 25, okay, I'm going to get married, and then I'm really going to enjoy. Then you get married, and it's not what you thought it was going to be. It's something different. And then maybe you've joined a temple and you've been around a while and you become like a temple president. And you think, and after you become the temple president, he goes, wow, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. The material world is never what you think it is going to be. The material energy always tricks you. It always cheats you. And there's always expectations of some pleasure out there that just doesn't exist here. And Srila Prabhupada, he taught us this, but then to actually realize it takes some intelligence. And if you're intelligent, you listen and you hear, and then you act, and you remain brahmachari. You don't go through the sufferings of having to go out and work and, you know, raise a family and, you know, have to deal with mothers-in-laws and, you know, so on and so forth, and fathers-in-laws and, you know, the wife's cousins. And I'm married to an Indian, by the way. When you marry an Indian, you marry the family, right? Okay. So, that's first class. Second class, okay, I'm still attached. I get married, and I have to go through the mother-in-law, the cousins, and all that. But then you learn through going through the school of hard knocks, but you still learn. And it still propels you to pursue spiritual life and attain perfection and Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartino Arjuna Muvupecha Tukuntaya Punarjanmana Vichite. By Srila Prabhupada's influence, Punar Janma Navidyate. No more birth. No more going through this experiences of material life. It's Mam Upetu Punar Janma Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It is miserable 100%. It's just some flickering that it's not. I'm not happy now, but all I have to do is make some adjustments and I'll be happy in the future. The only adjustment that we have to make to become happy is to become pure devotees by pleasing Srila Prabhupada and pleasing him in some way or other according to your particular aptitudes. So thank you very much for allowing me to be here and listening to me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Shori Prabhu.